Welcome to the Innovation World Young Collaborators podcast series. My name is Arne Bothra and I'm 14 years old and I live in Aurora, Illinois in the United States of America. I'll be hosting today's podcast, which is titled Building Brighter Futures Inside the Boom School of the Streets. Today, our guest comes from Bayview's Hunters Point in San Francisco, California. In Bayview, he has founded an organization called Boom, which empowers teens in crisis and gives them economic opportunity by transforming them into engineers, tradespeople, and entrepreneurs. Please join me in welcoming Mr. John Weiss to the podcast. Hi, John. How are you today?
Good, Aaron. How are you?
I'm great. Well, I'm excited to learn about what you do and all of the opportunities that you're giving young people in your community. So, my first question for you will be, can you introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is John Weiss. I grew up in Buffalo, New York, and I moved to the West Coast about 15 years ago. And that's where I started my project.
Great. So, can you tell us a little bit about the problem that you're trying to solve with your project?
Sure. Well, first, I'd like to describe a little bit more about my childhood and my background. My father studied electronics with the United States Navy during World War II. And so I grew up with an environment of mentoring. I grew up with access to tools and books about electronics and building things. My dad always had me involved in building and repairing things. And so that was just a fantastic learning experience and had a lifelong benefit. When I moved to San Francisco about 15 years ago in the early 2000s, I discovered this neighborhood called Bayview Hunters Point. I didn't know anything about that neighborhood, but I discovered that it has a really troubled history of economic struggles and social problems. It used to be a location that employed people from the local community to work for the United States Navy because there's a shipyard there. The shipyards shut down in the 1970s, and nothing was done to help families transition to new forms of employment. And so the neighborhood became really targeted by drug dealers and guns and criminal activity. And teenagers growing up in that neighborhood became at high risk for getting involved in destructive activities. One night I was on the street in Bayview and a young man came up to me. He asked me if I had $10. And I said, no, I did not have 10 bucks. Then he asked me to show him what's in my backpack. So, in other words, he was basically trying to intimidate me and take something from me. I ran away. But I blamed myself because if that young man was participating in boombox classes every week, then he wouldn't be trying to cause trouble on the street. And so that's an example for me of a young person who is an ideal candidate for this project. I'm not mad at that young man. I understand he's struggling. I want this project to be a solution for kids like him.
I love that mindset. It's very inspiring, and I think you'll be able to make a great impact in your community.
So when I moved to Bayview, I started volunteering in the neighborhood and working with teenagers in the neighborhood and discovered that they are just brilliant and have such an incredible creative spark, but they lack opportunities to develop their skills and they lack access to mentors, like mentor that I had. For a lot of the young people in that neighborhood, many fathers are incarcerated. And so a lot of kids are growing up without access to, and moms, some moms are incarcerated as well. And so a lot of the kids are growing up without parental role models and mentors. So that is the primary problem that I created this project to solve.
That's great. Yeah, the problem, honestly, it sounds horrible. I couldn't imagine what that must feel like for those children. And it also it feels stifling. So I'm happy that you've decided to solve this problem. So can you tell us tell us why this is an important issue for you personally and why you're trying to solve it?
Well, it's an important issue for me personally because when I was a teenager, I was very inventive. And I also struggled with school. A lot of the kids that are in our target population struggle with academics. A lot of them are not likely to go to college. Because of their struggles with academics as well as economic limitations. So even though I had great mentoring from my dad and my mom when I was a kid, the academic environment wasn't a good fit for me. Maybe I was too creative. And so that's my personal experience that inspired me to create new opportunities for the teenagers in this neighborhood, opportunities which don't necessarily depend on academic success, because I wanted to create opportunities for them the same way I wanted to create opportunities for myself that didn't require academic success.
I see. Yeah. I think we as a society, we put a lot of pressure and value onto academic, and it's not necessarily for everyone. And it's great that you're doing something to help these teens to have something that you didn't have. So can you tell us the initiative that you've developed or taken part in to solve this problem?
Sure. Well, I discovered that teenagers in that community, like all teenagers, are crazy about music and they also love to build things. For example, I was employed at the YMCA in the neighborhood running the youth recording studio. So I was teaching teenagers how to work with mixing board and recording equipment and microphones. And they're just so passionate about music and technology. And so I decided that what was needed was a creative project that these teenagers would really love and really be enthusiastic about. And so it seemed like the natural fit was to build music technology, in particular loudspeakers. So that's the basic idea of this project is engaging teenagers in building portable Bluetooth speakers. And in the process of building the speaker, they are exposed to circuit design and mechanical design and product design and user experience. In other words, the goal of the project is to help them master foundational skills that will then help them to develop careers in engineering or product development or electronics or in the trades.
That's great. I think that's a really innovative idea. Honestly, I love that it's not just you teaching them the skill, but you're also giving them a process of building something so they learn the skills gradually. And I love that you're incorporating music into it, which is something they're passionate about, because that's something very like different, and I wouldn't have thought of that, but I think that's a very great solution to get them engaged. So what were some major obstacles or challenges you encountered while you were implementing this program, and how did you overcome them?
Well, first of all, I want to say that working with the teenagers was not an obstacle. That was the easiest part of the project. Teenagers are very enthusiastic about the project. We have a waiting list of kids who want to be involved. And We've had kids who are otherwise perhaps in trouble with the law or having difficulty paying attention at school, but they would sit patiently for hours over the course of several weeks. They would sit for many hours long sessions, quietly, patiently building with their hands and with hand tools. And even with kids who are hard to reach and struggle with conventional education, they love this project and they have no trouble staying focused. The more difficult challenge I have found is convincing other people that this project can work with that population, particularly funders and other kinds of supporters. Because the project, I think partly because the project is not academically oriented, that makes it a little bit different than most youth development programs. And I think that there are some low expectations for the population that we work with. And so my priority or my strategy has been not to focus too much on trying to raise money at this point, but instead to focus on engaging teenagers and demonstrating the impact that the project can have. And hopefully the financial support will come later.
Yeah, I think that's a great mindset. Yeah, I love that. So what outcomes or successes have you achieved so far, and how has that helped the and how has your program, The Boom, helped the teenagers of Bayview?
So we've had a successful 3-year pilot with this program. With limited resources, we have not been able to fully implement the full vision of the project. What we have successfully done is engaged about 40 teenagers in building boomboxes. And that way, the project was really successful. Now, the obstacle is developing a product because we want to engage our apprentices not just in building a fun project that can sit on their bookshelf, but actually engage them in building a real product so that they can be involved in marketing and selling the product and be involved in customer support and repairs and all of the things that go along with a real world product. So that's the next goal for this project is to take a real product to market. And doing so, well, creating a real world product raises the bar in terms of our engineering. It raises the bar in terms of safety. It raises the bar in terms of performance and appearance. And that's great because it means that we'll be able to engage our apprentices in those issues and those topics. The goal of this project is long-term impact. And by long term, I mean over the course of years. So, if we are planting the seeds for invention and engineering for a 15-year-old, then it might be 5 years later that the fruits of this experience are really demonstrated in their life. And so, it is a challenge because funding and other kinds of support are often looking for shorter term results. And I think that may be an issue with the conventional funding mindset. So I think it's important to recognize that the real impact of a youth project might not be an immediate impact that's immediately obvious. It might be something that doesn't really show itself until a few years down the road.
Yeah, that's a very interesting concept, because we like to put money into things and we like to see instant results, and I think that's something that we prioritize a lot. But I do love that your program is looking for long-term growth and not just like short-term impact, and that is trying to change these kids' lives and not just like for a few years, just change something but make a long-term impact. So have you witnessed any changes in the perception or mindsets of teens within the broader community, during your programs and during your pilot?
Yes, and this is kind of amusing. I worked with teenagers in an evening reporting facility for teens on probation. So these are teenagers who have already been incarcerated or convicted of a crime, and they're in this program because it's part of their remediation or an alternative to incarceration. And what I've noticed sometimes when I work with a new group of teenagers, I'll introduce them to the project. And at the beginning, I'll get some pushback. They will be unenthusiastic, they'll be very skeptical, very doubtful. But once they get involved, once they see what we're building, then their minds quickly change. And I've had kids who were very resistant at the beginning, who become the greatest supporters and participants of the project once they get involved.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love like the change in mindset and like some like a tangible impact you can see. So I know you kind of touched on this, but if you could expand after patenting your new boombox design, what are your next steps for the program and for expansion?
Okay, so a couple of things I want to say about that. First of all, we aren't going to patent the boombox itself. To patent something, it has to be novel, new. It has to present a new solution to some sort of problem. And plenty of Bluetooth speakers are on the market. That's not a new thing. What we're patenting are some of the core technologies inside the boombox. For example, we're developing a novel battery charger, and we hope to patent that. We already have applied for a patent on a battery mounting system that I designed. That's a mechanical device. We won an award for that from Proto Labs. And we're awaiting an answer from the patent office on that particular device. And there's also a wireless feature that we're in development to add to the boombox. And that's also something that we hope to patent. So the individual technologies that we can patent will then become things that we can sell or license to the general public separate from the boombox. And the goal is to raise funding for the youth program by selling and licensing those core technologies. So once we've achieved that, then we'll start to sell things on eBay and Amazon and hopefully raise some funding for the project so that we can grow the project. And the next step for the project, for the youth experience, is to take project to other cities and other countries so that we can engage teenagers around the world. And the ultimate vision for the project is a global community of teen boombox makers who are able to communicate with each other, share ideas with each other, and participate in a lively subculture of boombox makers.
That's exciting. I'm very excited to see where the project goes and look at your progress in the coming years. So personally for you, what has been the most rewarding aspect of leading the Boom Initiative?
For sure, the most rewarding aspect has been working with teenagers. I'm an educator. I studied child development, psychology, and education. And so for me, that one-on-one interaction with a young person and teaching them how to use a tool and watching the light go on in their eyes, and especially seeing their excitement when they build something and they can see how awesome and amazing it is. You know, the first time they turn on their loudspeaker and they play their favorite music through the boombox, that's just deeply rewarding for me. Another aspect that's very exciting for me is that I am also an inventor myself, and I'm inventing the core technologies in the boombox. And so it's a great opportunity for me to get, be involved in invention, which is really exciting.
That's great. I love that you're combining like both of your passions, and I think that's a really great thing to do. So, in what way can people and the people listening in the audience help or support your mission at Boom?
Well, it's very challenging to create an impactful project without funding. Unfortunately, money matters. One of the things that we need money for is to engage consultants and engineers to help us develop our core educational engineering. And so one of the ways that people can help is with skilled volunteering. Professional electrical engineers and mechanical engineers. We've had many amazing professional engineers who have volunteered with the project, and we need more. We would love to partner with organizations or companies who want to help us take the project to the next level.
So, John, how can people contact you? So, what's the URL of Boom, and how can people learn more about your mission?
They can learn about the project by visiting theboom.org. That's theboom.org. And I can be reached at john@theboom.org. It's john@theboom.org. And I can also be reached by phone at 415-68-WHEEL, WHEEL.
Perfect. I had a really great time listening and learning about the boom, and I'm sure our audience also had a great time. And I hope that someone will be able to reach out to you and help you grow the impact of your mission. So thank you so much for sharing with us today. You can learn more about this program and others by visiting www.innovationworld.org. Thank you so much for joining the Innovation World Young Collaborators podcast. And this is Arun Bothra signing off until next time. Thank you, John.
Thank you so much, Aaron. I really appreciate this opportunity.